Well, good morning.
Morning.
Are you wide awake? Punch your neighbor and say, wake up. Yay. Amen. Well, it's good to be back at the Lord's house again. And count it a privilege always to be here. And thank you for being with us today. And I trust you have a great day today. Every day is a great day in the Lord, isn't it? It really is. And appreciate you being here. This special day. We honor our seniors today. It's going to be a special service today here at church. And we have some people that are visiting with us again. Thank you for being here and trusting God for, again, a good service. Pray for those that are out today. And we have a lot of people out, looks like, but we need to pray for them. Trust they're okay. And they'll be back maybe next week, the Lord willing. So let's have prayer and we'll get started with our lesson today. Father, thank you for life. Thank you for this day that you've allowed us to be together again. Thank you for the Word of God. Lord, we do pray, Lord, for people, Lord, that are blinded. Lord, they just don't know the truth. And Lord, I just pray for their hearts. Lord, their hearts need to be changed, and only you can do that. And God, we know that the Word of God is the only tool available through the Spirit of God that can break a heart and change your heart. God, we do pray for these people. Lord, Lord, that's all we can do is pray for them. Because, Lord, we try to talk to them and we don't get anywhere. But, Lord, we know that your word, if they hear it, God will help them. And, Lord, we pray for them. We pray for this service today. We pray for the people that are gathered here at Fellowship. I pray, God, again, that you might give us something, Lord, to help us this week. Lord, you know what we're going to face, Lord, when we walk out of these doors. And God, we sure need your help today. So, Father, may the Spirit of God use the Word of God to encourage us today, to help us. If there's one in the midst that's lost, I pray today they might come to know Christ as Savior. Lord, when all is done and said, we pray most of all, Lord, that you're honored. Lord, you're glorified in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, we've been talking for the last several weeks. The life of the Christian believer. The life of the Christian believer. Specifically speaking about the Christian believer. We've been talking about the believer's life before conversion. The believer's life before Christ. We talked about the believer's life. The believer's conversion, maybe I should say. And how we talked about the work of the mercy of God, the work of the grace of God that brought salvation to us. Talked about last week also the believer as his workmanship. We are Christ's workmanship. We are created in Christ Jesus to good works. We talked about good works and how good works glorify God. Good works enrich our lives as Christians, and also good works show the reality of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And all these things are known to people that are around us. So again, as we look today, beginning with verse number 11 of chapter number 2, we find here that Paul says, wherefore remember. Wherefore remember. In other words, reflect back on what we talked about. The believer's life, okay, before conversion. Also, your conversion also, and also your life as a workmanship created unto God, created in Christ Jesus. So, wherefore, remember what God's done for you. Remember what God's done for mankind. We know as far as history is concerned, before Christ, God dealt with man through the Jews to the nation of Israel. We find now today, though, since Christ has come, God deals individually. He deals with the Jew and the Gentiles, with every person individually as they follow Christ. He deals with us individually. I'm so glad that he does that today. God takes both Jews and Gentiles as believers, and he makes them to be his children by faith, by grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. We see that God deals with each single person. You know, I said before, it's an amazing thing to me how we can be in a church like this number of people here, and how God, through His Spirit, takes the Word of God and deals with each one of us individually. We all have similar needs, do we not? But in essence, we all have different needs too. And God knows what those needs are, and the Word of God is the answer to our need, no matter what it may be today. It's an amazing thing how the Spirit of God can take the Word of God and minister to every one of us in our need, in God's way. It's an amazing thing how the Word of God is powerful, it's quick, it's sharper than a two-edged sword. It does this work in our life if we will allow the Spirit of God to use the Word of God in our lives. So I'm glad today to know that. What God has done for man, God no longer deals with earthly, as far as nations are concerned. He does it with individuals. And I'm so glad for that today. Now notice He said, wherefore remember. Remember before Christ how miserable you were just before you got saved, within weeks or months before you got saved. Now, I know before Christ, without Christ, as we grew up, we didn't think about Christ. But as we began to think about Him, as we heard the Word of God, and the Word of God was convicting our hearts, there was misery. There was misery in my life. I'm sure there was in yours also, but just before we got saved. Remember your condition. You had no relationship with God whatsoever as an unbeliever. Remember there was, we were strangers from the Word of God, the promises of God, and we didn't know anything about them. We were without hope. We had no hope as a lost person, as an unbeliever. We were under the dominion of the flesh. The flesh had control of us. Everything we said, everything we did, it was the flesh. And we see that we were controlled by carnal appetites and also carnal pleasures in this world in which we live as an unbeliever. But we see here, wherefore remember. You know, when we remember, this does something to us. Remembering produces some things in our life. It produces humility, first of all. Remembering where God has brought us from. Remembering that we could have been in hell. Remembering brings humility to us. Realizing that, hey, what's happened to me has not been because of me, but it's been because of the grace of God and how He's helped me and how He's changed my life. Remembering also produces gratitude. Being thankful. Being grateful for the grace of God and the work of God in our lives. It also produces love. We love Him because we know He first loved us and He gave His life for us. Therefore, we love the Lord. We love the Lord more today than we ever have, more than we ever have. And so that's the way it is. So wherefore remember, Paul says, look at verse number 11. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That's our condition. What life was like then? May I say to you, it is no small privilege to be placed in God's family. Did you get that? It's no small privilege to be placed in God's family. That's a big privilege, folks. That's an honor. That's a privilege, I think, sometimes that we take for granted as who we are. If you're a born again child of God, you belong to God. What a privilege. Majority of people in the world today do not belong to God. But what a privilege it is to know, hey, my sins have been forgiven. Jesus died for me. He forgave my sins because He shed His blood on Calvary for my sins. What a privilege it is to be able to say, hey, I know without any doubt I'm a child of God. I'm not boasting, but I'm thankful that I am who I am by the grace of God, as Paul says. It's only by the grace of God. So it's no small privilege to be called or to be placed in God's family, folks. Don't take it lightly. Take it seriously if you are a child of God, because God has blessed you and enabled you to do that. We see here in verse 11 and 12 what life is like before Christ. We're without Christ. There's a barrier between God and you. We see that we have no hope. We're strangers from the promises and the privileges of God. And we are simply without God in this world. But notice what happened here when we are like this. We notice something takes place. Look at verse 13. It says, but now in Christ Jesus, now. We're going to look today at what life is like since Christ came. We talked about the past, what it was like without Christ, what it was like during our conversion, what it is like, you know, as being his workman. But now, what is it like? What is your life like as a Christian since Christ has came into your life? What is your life like? What's happening in your life? Notice this, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes far off, notice, we were far off, are now what? We are made nigh by what? The blood of Christ. We're made nigh by the blood of Christ. We find here, first of all, as we look at what life is like since Christ came, we see that Christ brings us near God. Christ brings us near God here in this verse. Things are different now. Happiness has come when you're near God. Listen, when you're close to God, folks, listen, you've got to be happy. You've got to be happy because God wants you to be happy, because God gives you something within you to make you happy. See, it's His Spirit indwelling us. The song goes, joy is unspeakable and full of glory. I like that song because God, when He saves us, He gives us that joy. He gives us that peace in our heart that we have never known before. You remember the day you got saved? You remember the time you got saved? Were you happy? Huh? Anybody happy when he got saved? I was. I tell you what, there was a burden lifted off my shoulder, and I was rejoicing in the Lord, the fact that he had forgiven me of my sins. That's what happens when you get near God. Near God. Paul says, but now in Christ Jesus, you sometimes were far off or made nigh. We're made now how? By the blood of Jesus Christ. Nothing that we've done, nothing that we could do, but we're made nigh by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for you. He died for me. He shed his blood that we might be drawn nigh to him. Man rejected and rebelled against God as unbelievers. We all do. We see God has provided his son to die for us. He provided him to die, and his death would stand for the death of all men. He died for everybody. He died for you. He died for me. We see that God showed how much he loved the world. In John 15:13, he tells, greater love hath no man than this, that a man does what? Lay down his life for his friends. No man loves greater than God. No man loves greater. So Christ brings us near to God. Paul talks about it in verse number 13. God shows how much he loved. He died for men. Go back to Romans chapter 5. Look at Romans chapter 5. We read this here a while back, but I'll read it again today. In Romans chapter 5, I want us to begin reading with verse number 6. He died for mankind. He died for you. He died for me. Men like you and I, notice how he identifies us as men that he died for. First of all, in verse number 6, Romans 5, verse 6, for when we were yet without what? Strength. Christ died for men who were without strength. Without strength. For when we were yet without strength, in due times Christ died for who? The ungodly. Christ died for men without strength. Christ died for the ungodly. That's who he died for. I'm so glad to know that my strength is in the Lord. My strength is only in him. I have no strength within my body. It's all because of him giving me strength that I have today. I may be weak today physically, but I know God's strength is mighty. God's strength is strong. See, so we find here that Christ, he died for men who were without strength and men who were ungodly. Now look down to verse number 8. But God commended his love towards us, and while they were yet what? Sinners, Christ died for us. Not only did Christ die for men without strength, without the ungodly, but also for sinners. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. God died for sinners. I'm glad that he did. Paul says he was the chiefest of sinners. You know, that's the way I feel, don't you? The chiefest of sinners. I'm glad that Christ died for sinners such as me and such as you. Now look at verse number 10. Not only did he die for being without strength and the ungodly and the sinners, but he also, in verse number 10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, Christ also died for his enemies, for enemies. People literally hated the Lord Jesus Christ, hated him. He died for his enemies. He gave his life for his enemies. Oh, may we realize today that Christ brings us near to God. He brings us near to God. This is the only way we can know God. It's through the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the only way we can know God. Every believing sinner owes his nearness to God for the fact that Jesus gave his life for us. He gave his life for us. And because of his dying, his sacrifice, sacrificing his life, we can be near God. We can be near God. I thank God today that Christ brings us near to God. Notice also, look at verse 14 and 15, another thing that Christ does for us. Verse 14 says, for he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making what? Peace. Christ brings peace. He brings near to God, but he also brings peace. He brings peace by bringing men together as one. Folks, listen. In Christ, we're one. In Christ, we're one. Sad to say, there's a lot of people that say they're believers, but I wonder, are they in Christ? Are they in Christ? Because, see, only Jesus Christ makes us one. We're one body, we're one family. We're united together in the Lord Jesus Christ and through him. He brings that peace. All men approach Christ. All men approach God only by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the unity. There's only one way. All men are as other men. We are all lost and we're all needful. All lost and we need God. So God brings us all together in Christ Jesus. We see this. All men come as one with all others to confess Christ as Savior. You'll never be saved apart from confessing the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. We have to do this. We're all saved the same way, aren't we? We're all saved the same way. That's why he brings us together. He brings us all together. That's why he brings peace. When we're together, we have peace. When we're not together, there's strife. There's divisions among us. But in Christ, he brings peace because he brings us all together. He has his way of doing this. God has a plan, you see. All men receive love and purpose and work in Christ and through Christ. So we're seeing that Christ brings peace by bringing men together. By bringing men together as one. As one. Also, we see that Christ brings peace by breaking down all barriers. And verse 14 talks about barriers here. The cross breaks down the barriers. The Lord Jesus Christ. Men now approach God and become worthy on the same basis. We bow before the Lord Jesus Christ, before the cross. We bow before the cross. And we surrender our lives to Christ. This is the only way. This is the way barriers are broken down in our lives. Christ brings peace also by wiping out the enmity of the law against us. Jesus Christ lived a sinful life. He did not do away with the law. He fulfilled the law. He fulfilled the law. We find he lived a sinless life. He paid the penalty for man breaking the law. He paid the penalty for you and I. He was my substitute. He was your substitute. He gave his life for us. So we see that he wiped out all the enmity of the law against us when he died. When he came and lived and died, he paid it all, folks. He paid it all. He fulfilled the law. He forgave us of our sin. He also brings peace by creating a new man. A new man. A new man. A man in whom Christ Jesus dwells. Aren't you glad? Therefore, for him in Christ, he's a what? He's a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things become new. I'm glad today to know that a new man is in me. The Holy Spirit lives within me and you as a believer today. And we are a new creature in Christ Jesus. See, he receives a man and he creates the man all over again. Christ received me and he created me again by giving me his Spirit within me, within you. Therefore, we're new creatures in Christ Jesus. Christ did it all. Man has a new life. You have a new life in Christ Jesus, folks. You have a new life. Did you get that? A different life in Christ Jesus. Christ brings us peace in our life. I'm thankful for the peace of God that indwells us as a new man, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. He gives us that peace. He brings that peace to us. He begins life all over. We have a new beginning. We have a new beginning. From the day that I trusted Christ as my Savior, I had a new beginning. It's like starting all over again. He forgave me of all my sins, and I started over again. The day I trusted Christ as my Savior, he gives us a new life. A new life. We see here all men who believe, all people who believe are made up of one new body. Ephesians 2, verse 16, look at it. Verse 16, Ephesians 2, 16, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body. By the what? By the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. We find here that all men who believe make up one new body. Again, Christ is what? He's bringing us together as one. He's bringing us together as one, as a new body. Okay? And we find here that this all men who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ are make up one new body. Look at verse 19. We find that all men who believe make up one new family. Verse 19, now therefore, if you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Also we see, not only are we one new body, but we're one new family. The family of God. Well, can you imagine what it's going to be like when we all get to heaven? Don't mind singing and shouting the victory. We're going to have a wonderful time, aren't we? Yeah, I mean, it's good to get together with families nowadays to have reunions or a Christmas or whatever it is. But a lot of times in families nowadays, there's problems. But you know, when we get to heaven, God's family, there's not going to be no problems. There's going to be no strife. There's not going to be disharmony and disharmony. We're all going to be one big happy family. One big happy rejoicing, shouting family. When we get to heaven. And what a glad day that's going to be, folks. What a glad day that's going to be. So all men who believe make up. We find a new body, a new family, and also a new building. Look at verse number 20. Look at verse number 20. And I'll build upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself, being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth up into a what? Holy temple in the Lord. A holy temple in the Lord. Look at verse 22. In whom ye also are built together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. So we find here that all believers are one new building. Also one new temple. We read in verse 21 here also. And also in chapter 1, verse 22, we find here that all men who believe make up one new fellowship. One new fellowship. Chapter 1, look at verse 22. Says, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. To the church. Fellowship. Where do we have fellowship at? In the church. In the church of Christ. In the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we find that Christ brings us near to God. Christ also brings us peace. But notice also in verse number 16, let's read it again. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. We also see that Christ brings reconciliation. He brings reconciliation to us as believers. That is change from enmity to friendship. He restores us, if you please. He reconciles us. What is the thing that brought enmity between God and man? What is it? Sin. Sin brought enmity between God and man. And we find men are said to be enemies of God. We read about that in Romans a while ago, verse chapter 5, verse 10. We're enemies because of sin. See, it's sin in our life. The sinner cannot be said to be a friend of God, folks. The sinner cannot be said as a friend of God. It's impossible. It's impossible. When the sinner lives for himself, he becomes God's enemy. When the sinner, whenever he lives for the world, he becomes God's enemy. God's enemy. Listen, I don't want to be God's enemy. I don't want to be God's enemy. I used to be God's enemy. I thank God that God, through His grace, has saved me. And I'm now His child. And I trust you are today also. But we find God brings reconciliation. He restores us. He restores us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we are reconciled through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. He paid the price to restore us. He did that. God accepts the death of Jesus Christ for the death of man, or the man. He accepts that. God, Jesus Christ paid the price. God accepts the sin, the sins borne by Christ as the sins committed by the man. In other words, Jesus Christ, the sins He bore on Calvary were the sins that we commit. We commit those sins. He bore those sins for us. God accepts that. What Jesus did on Calvary to pay for my sins and pay for your sins. Well, that's a loving God, isn't it? That's a loving God. That's a loving Savior that would do that. But God accepts what Jesus did on the cross as payment for my sin and for your sin, that you and I could be free. God accepts the condemnation borne by Christ also as the condemnation due us, you and I. Jesus Christ paid it all. God is the one who reconciles, not man. God reconciles. We don't do that. Neither do we save ourselves. We found that out in chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. But all men are reconciled to one another. How? Through the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse number 13 again. But now in Christ Jesus, who sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. We are made nigh by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what do we found today? The life of the believer. Christ brings us nearer to God. Christ brings us peace. And Christ, brings reconciliation to us. He restores us. He restores us here as Paul is trying to instruct us. Also, we find that Christ brings us access to God. He brings us the way to God. The way to God. We can never know God apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. He brings us the door, if you please, the way to know God. He's the only way we can know God. He brings that access. That is, He brings us to, He moves us to God. Okay? He introduces us. He presents us, if you please, to God. Jesus Christ does that. He does that for us. I'm so glad that I can know God through the Lord Jesus Christ. We see the Holy Spirit keeps us in the very presence of God because He lives within us, folks. No matter where I go, no matter where you go, God's presence is with you if you're a child of God because the Holy Spirit indwells you. He indwells within your body. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, and He dwells there. The Holy Spirit, that is God's nature, God's divine nature within us gives us a permanent access unto God's presence. We have a permanent access to God's presence because of the Holy Spirit that indwells us. We also see that the Holy Spirit is the one who works in us to move more and more into God's presence. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. We see this. Look at verse number 14. Verse 14. The Holy Spirit is the one who works in us to move more and more into God's presence. Notice he says, for Romans chapter 8, verse 14, for as many as are led by the what? Spirit of God, they are who? The sons of God. Those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So we find here the Holy Spirit works in us to move us more and more into God's presence. More and more into God's presence. We also see the Holy Spirit is the constant companion with us. Constant companion with us. Over in John chapter 14. John chapter 14 and verse number 26. The Bible says this. It says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. We see he's a constant companion. And then back over in Romans chapter 8, as we close out today on Christ brings us access to God, we see the Holy Spirit, who is within us, bears witness that we are the children of God and that we should approach Christ continually. Romans chapter 8, look at verse 15 through 15 and 16. Romans 8, verse 15 and 16. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption. I like that. Whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We have been adopted, folks. We're adopted children of God. Now notice verse 16. The Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit itself, bears witness with our spirit, what? That we are who? The children of God. The children of God. Thank God for that presence, the Holy Spirit of God within us, who bears witness with us that we are the children of God. There's no doubt. There's no doubt you can know. You can know. John tells us about this in John, 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you might believe on the name of the Son of God. So what are we talking about today? Remember what life is like since Christ came. Since Christ has come into your heart and your life, remember that life. Okay, first of all, he brings us near to God. He brings us peace in our hearts. He brings us reconciliation, and he brings us access to God. He brings us access to God. Listen, Christ has died to save us. Yes, he did, but look what else he's done for us. Look what else he's done for us. Look what he's brought us, folks. Peace that passes understanding. Near to God. Reconciliation. Restored us back to God. And now access to God. Access to God through prayer. Wow, we have a wonderful Savior, folks. We have a wonderful Savior. I'm glad to know that the life of the Christian believer is life worth living. It's life worth living. Let's pray. Father, I thank you today for this time you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for these that are here. And I pray, God, as we focus upon the life that you've given us as your children, God, that you might help us to remember, Lord, how good you are to us. And God, that you're grateful. We ought to be grateful, Lord, to you for all you've done. Now, Father, bless the service we're about to go into. It's going to be a special service for our youth, Lord, who have graduated. I pray you bless them. Bless our preacher, Lord, as he preaches the Word of God to us. God, may all of us be challenged from the Word of God today. Thank you for everyone that's come to Sunday school. I pray, Lord, now you bless them for being here today. Have your will and way in the rest of the service today. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.